Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story. Edward Rushton has never received the recognition he deserves. He was an unwavering fighter for justice at a time and in a city when to speak out could mean imprisonment and even death. His campaigning led to an assassination attempt and two businesses to closure. To tell his story is to relay the history of the slave trade and revolution, slave uprisings and abolitionist campaigns. The story also touches on the start of industrialization, resulting in poverty for those torn from the land to work in factories, or for those thrown into the brutal Royal Navy by the press gangs. But Rushton's life and writing range even wider than this, speaking to us about revolution in America, France and Haiti, of colonial barbarism in Ireland, and oppression of the common people throughout the world. Despite participating in these historical events, and documenting them through his poetry and writings, Rushton is largely forgotten.
Chapter 1. The Young Seaman Blinded Helping Slaves. Edward Rushton was born on the 18th of November, 1756, in John Street, Liverpool. His father had been a hairdresser and then became a wine merchant and was a freeman of the city. Young Rushton attended the Liverpool Free School and was apprenticed as a seaman to a firm of West India merchants, Watt and Gregson, before his 11th birthday. He was in his 16th year when the ship he was sailing in was in a terrific storm just outside the mouth of the Mersey. The Reverend William Shepherd, writing in 1824, tells of Rushton's bravery when
"the captain and the crew so lost their presence of mind as to abandon themselves to despair and relinquish all efforts to guide the ship. The boy seized the helm, sounded a tone of command, and by his courageous bearing inspired the men to return to their posts and succeeded in saving the ship."
Rushton's firm gave him an immediate promotion to second mate, and his indentures were endorsed with a commendation. When he was 18, he sailed as a second mate in an American ship. It picked up slaves in Africa, and Rushton recounted later his distressed feelings on discovering what the trade meant. One of his friends aboard a previous voyage had been an African, Kwamina. Rushton had taught this young man to read and write, and later he owed his life to him. He often told the story of how their ship was anchored off a coast, and the two of them were in a boat pulling towards the shore when it sank in a rough sea. Rushton's friend found a floating, empty water cask that could, however, only support one. Kwamina saw that his friend was exhausted and pushed the cask towards him, bade him goodbye, and sank to rise no more. Rushton remonstrated with the captain about the treatment of the slaves and the terrible and inhuman conditions in which they were imprisoned. He bitterly regretted his having engaged himself in his present odious employment. His opposition was so pointed and so unreserved that the captain accused him of mutiny and threatened to put him in irons. This first voyage on a slave ship was also to be his last. Later on in the voyage, the slaves were smitten with contagious ophthalmia. The crew was panic-stricken because at that time the majority of those who contracted the disease went blind within 3 weeks. The ship's crew and its officers would most likely believe that evil spirits caused the disease. It has to be remembered that it was only in the 19th century that Pasteur discovered that most infectious diseases are caused by germs and viruses. The slaves were left in the hold unattended. Rushton pleaded with the captain to be allowed to take food and water to the suffering men and women. The captain eventually agreed, and Rushton tended to the slaves. He succumbed to the disease, and in 3 weeks his left eye was totally destroyed, and his other eye was sightless, with opacity of the cornea. He thus arrived back in Liverpool from the voyage, totally blind, and was in that condition for 30 years.